Jeremiah chapter 6 is where we're going to be based tonight. So if you've got a bookmark or a ribbon or something or a spare finger, stick it in Jeremiah chapter 6. We will be coming back and forth to this passage throughout the night. So Jeremiah chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 16. Verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, O ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here this evening, Lord. I pray, Father, that you give me wisdom, help me know what to say and what not to say. Lord, we pray that there wouldn't be any distractions tonight. Be speaking to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Jeremiah chapter 6, looking through this passage, we know that Jeremiah is talking to the people or the children of Benjamin, and he's pleading with them. He's asking them, verse 16, to come back to the old ways, to come back to the old paths. Now, if we know anything about the history of Israel, we know that they liked to try all of the paths. They liked that they started on the old path, and they'd go veer off and go onto the path of some other false god for a while, and they'd be worshipping the same as the Philistines or the Amalekites or the Babylonians or whatever it was. They had trouble staying on a path. And it goes pretty much the same for us as Christians today. There are things that we know we should stay on, and there are things that we just don't. And it might be different things for all of us, but God and Jeremiah here is urging these people to get back to the right way, to get back to the old path. And not long after this, the children of Israel go into captivity. They don't go back to the old paths. Like it says there in verse 19, things are going to happen because we weren't sticking with what we were supposed to. And in our world today, the old is not a good word most of the time. If something is old, it's hardly ever a good thing for it. If people are old, we're not going to go into that too much tonight, but other things as well. Phones, you get new phones, and then the one you bought 6 months ago is no good because this one is slightly bigger, and you've got to get a whole new phone and a whole new plan, and you've got to remortgage your house all over again because something else has come out with a new Pixel or whatever it is, and a new one is always better. Cars are the same, or houses, and in our world today, even spouses need upgrades most of the time. I'm not even trying to be funny. It's the sad truth of the world today that when a spouse gets too old, if you're rich enough, you can trade it in for another model. It's not what should be happening, and it's something that we should work and aim not to do. But the point is, in the world today, old is almost never any good. The Bible is no good because it's old. And Jesus obviously can't be the Messiah or even relevant today because he lived 2,000 years ago. And when things get too old, they lose their relevance. But the Bible here is telling the people of Israel and telling us as well to get back to the old ways. And it's such a relevant thing for us all the time. Because we live in such a fast-paced world with all the advertising and the bright, shiny colors and the beautiful people telling us we need things, we're always looking to upgrade. And people do it with their phones. People do it with their churches. We want something new, more exciting. And when that gets old, they'll find somewhere else to go. And that is completely the wrong attitude to have. God tells us here that there's old ways. Not only that, he uses a term of paths, the old paths. It's a way to travel. It's a way of life. Now, in 1944, there was a battle in Europe called the Battle of the Bulge. It was the Nazis, and it was the Americans and the Allied forces that had landed. And the Germans started an operation called Operation Grief. Maybe it's Greif. I don't know how it was said. But their plan was to go around, I think it was Belgium where they were, dressed as allies, in allies' cars, and turn the signs around on the roads. And so making the signposts point in different directions. And so making the paths less relevant. And they nearly won because of that tactic. It actually really confused people for a long time because the paths had been changed. If we look at our world today, people are always finding new paths to spirituality. There are always new cults popping up. There are ways of self-improvement, social improvement. There's always a different path popping up, and the old paths get lost. The old paths get lost in the weeds and in the signposts that have been turned, because we used to be able to go, this is what the Bible says, and there's a road sign, there's a verse in the Bible that tells us what it is, but if we're not paying attention to that, the signs get twisted on us. Someone can tell us something we don't know. I was in a church for a while where it didn't matter what the Bible said, it mattered what the pastor said. And people lost the paths because the signposts were being twisted and they didn't even notice. And even today, churches are changing the road signs. Churches are changing the ways to go. There are road signs that we should be following, like the reality of heaven and hell or the holiness of God. We had a business meeting today, and I have so many papers in my Bible, and it's not in here. But we went through and we condensed our statement of faith into a smaller one, not losing anything, but just making it easier for people to read in a hurry or on the internet. Those are the road signs. Those are the things we need to be sticking with. And when people change those things, people change the idea that salvation only comes through the blood of Christ. All of a sudden, that path has been lost. The sign has been changed, and we don't know where we are. And people who are coming in don't know where they are. The signs have been moved, or they've been taken down. But if we're looking in Jeremiah 6:16, God gives us, and Jeremiah gives us, an idea of how to get on those paths and stay on those paths. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So first thing we see here, the first thing that they tell us, that God and Jeremiah tell us here, is stand ye in the ways. Standing is not a popular thing at the moment. If you look at the world and the politics and just the laws in general, to make a stand for something, to have a conviction for something, is not a thing you want to do if you want to succeed. I don't know if you guys have heard of cancel culture. If you have at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't think it exists, go on the internet and tell the internet that men are men and women are women and see what happens. You will get cancelled. And so all of a sudden there's virtue signaling that companies will do. Just the other day, Oreo made maybe it was this morning or last night, Oreo made a big statement about transgenderism or something like that. I don't know why a sandwich cookie needs to do that, but they did. They made a stand, not really for the right thing. But when they're making those stands, they're changing the paths. I know lots of a few companies in America that have made a stand and said, we will not do this, or we will continue to do this. And cancel culture has come for them, which means pretty much that all the outraged people on the internet with weird colored hair decide not to buy that product. Sometimes it works, which is terrible, and sometimes it doesn't, which is great. Just recently, they're trying to cancel Dr. Seuss, because Dr. Seuss obviously has some terrible undertones in it or something like that. I'm not really sure. But as Christians, there are things we need to make a stand on, which we were talking about just before, those road signs that we should not allow to be moved, taking a stand. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and let's look at a man or a good example of standing. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And it goes on and tells us about other things that we need. But what we want to look at is verse 13 and 14 about standing. Standing and withstanding, because those are a little bit different things. When you withstand something, it's not a passive, it's an active thing to do, to withstand. You can't passively withstand something. If you try, it just kind of washes over you. And when I think about withstanding, I think about the Roman phalanxes, or I think about the Viking shield walls, where they stood and they locked their shields together and they leant forward and they withstood what was coming. They weren't happy to sit there and wait for all their people to jump on their shield and attack them. They physically and actively took a stand. They withstood. They stood together. They put their feet apart. They dug their feet in, and they withstood the force that was coming. That's the idea when it talks about withstanding here. And then standing, in verse 14, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And it goes on and tells us the things that we need to be able to stand. This is a prerequisite. There's a couple of guys here looking to go into the military in different ways, and they're going to be looking at the equipment that you need to stand. Now, they're not going to be standing against, hopefully, charging barbarians in a shield wall. But the idea is the same. You need to be the one to stand up. You need to be the one to take responsibility and go, I don't want to be the weak link in this shield wall, or whatever it is. When you're withstanding, it's not something that you expect at some stage to come to you. When you're withstanding, it's current. It's soon. It's going to happen in the immediate time frame. You need to be prepared for that kind of thing. And when we're standing, when we have our convictions, we need to know that there's going to be a backlash. We need to know that there's going to be people coming for us because we took a stand, because we said that the Bible is true, that what the Bible says is accurate. There are going to be people who don't like that, and they're going to charge us pretty much like barbarians in the old days. They're not going to really worry about too much. They're just going to try and destroy us. So the first thing we see in Jeremiah 6 is to stand. Stand ye in the ways. Secondly, let's go a little bit further. We're going to read the verse every time up to where we're going. So, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Let's stop there for a sec. Seeing. Now, there's a big difference between looking and seeing. It's a humongous difference. If people sometimes get things confused, you can look at stuff without really seeing it. I saw an experiment the other day where they did this, and they had two teams of people playing basketball, one in white singlets and one in black singlets. Has anybody seen that weird thing? And they said, what you need to do when you watch this video is count how many times the white singlet people pass the basketball between them. And so they're weaving in like a big oval and a ring, and they're moving around throwing the basketball. And right in the middle of the video, a man in a gorilla suit walks into the middle of the frame, pounds his chest a couple times, and wanders off. And if you're paying attention to just the white singlet people, if you're just looking, you totally miss the gorilla. Now, it didn't work for me because I knew what was going to happen. I was very disappointed. I shouldn't have told you guys either, but it's too late now. There's a humongous difference between looking at what's in front of you and actively, once again, there's an active component here to seeing. You can look very lazily, but to see takes an amount of effort on our part. So when we're looking for the old paths, it's not a passive thing. The old paths often don't just fall in our laps. We need to be looking, we need to be standing, we need to be seeing. So what are we seeing? If we're looking and we're seeing, what are we looking for? What are we actively trying to see? We're trying to see what's on those old paths and who's on those old paths. We want to be seeing what examples do we know of godly people. We look through the Bible, we look through the old missionary stories and go, what path were they on? What were they doing? If we want to get on the path with God, we need to have godly examples to look at. And the other thing with seeing, we've talked about this a few times in youth group and other places about the word circumspectly. That's not a word we use almost at all today, but the idea with circumspectly is to have attention in every direction. It's kind of a hard thing to do for most of us because our eyes are at the front of our heads. But animals like sheep, with their eyes on the sides of their heads, it's a lot easier for them to have more attention in more directions, which is why often animals who are vegetarian or prey have their eyes on the side of their heads, and animals that are predators have their eyes at the front. You notice where our eyes are? We're supposed to eat meat, just so you all know. But with attention in every direction, it means that as people, we can't just walk looking this way. We've got to walk with attention in every direction. We need to be actively, once again, looking around us to see what we can see, to see what the threats are that are coming. So, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? So after seeing, we stand and we see, and then we ask. Now once again, this is not a passive thing. You can't have a conversation if you're not willing to participate. It's a frustrating thing, because I'd love it if people could just have a conversation with me and I could just sit there, but it doesn't work that way. Proverbs 11, I think it's 14, says, where no counselors, the people fall? Or let's go there. I think it's perish. I think it is, but this is what happens when I don't write verses down. Proverbs 11, 14. Where no counselors, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If we want to be on the right path, if we want to be on the old path, if these Jewish people in Jeremiah wanted to be on the right path, they needed to ask for it. They needed to ask for directions. Now, I know some of us don't like asking for directions. We don't have to do it very much anymore because of our phones. But if we want to walk on this path, our iPhones aren't really going to help us. We need to be asking people. We need to be looking for directions, for counsel. Should be like those little kids. You know those annoying little kids who won't stop asking questions? My kids aren't at that stage yet, and I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to it or not, because after a while it just sounds like why is the only question they ask. So that's going to happen at some stage. But we should be like those kids looking for things to wonder about, looking for things to have questions about. It's always an encouragement to me in Sunday school when we're sitting there and we're talking about something and someone has a question, and it's usually something really far out, but I appreciate it because it makes me think my questions aren't so weird. There was a quote I saw the other day that said, "Only the inquiring mind solves problems." If we're once again being happy to be passive, if we're happy to sit back and wait for people to give us a solution, it's not going to be the right solution. Once again, there's an active component here to asking, to thinking for ourselves. Asking for directions to the right path. So once again, there are ways we can do this. We can ask the men that we know. We can go through the Bible. We can ask the Lord to give us directions as to how to get on that old path. But an important part of asking, an important part of conversation, is listening. If we're just asking all the time and we don't stop to breathe or to let somebody answer, it's not going to help us at all. It's just going to frustrate. So when we are asking questions of the Lord or other people, we have to be prepared for their answers, and we have to be prepared that for the answers we might not like. Because maybe going to the old paths means getting rid of something that we enjoy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, and starting in verse 16, and we all know this story, but I'm going to read it because I think it's very important for us to remember these things. Matthew 19:16 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him," which is that's Jesus, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" He was asking questions. He was asking good questions. How do I get on this path? Verse 21, "And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He left sorrowing. He didn't like the answer. He was asking the right questions. And that's what we need to be doing, asking the right questions and then brace ourselves for the answer. Because a lot of the time, the answer is you're doing something wrong. You need to give something up. I love all through the Gospels that nobody that comes to Jesus leaves the same way. If someone comes to Jesus, that doesn't mean they always go away better. This guy went away sorrowing. People went away healed. Other people went away sorrowing or with more questions than they had answered. We saw one this morning in Sunday school that they said, what did they say? Something weird at the end of the passage. "We have seen strange things today." And you think, and that was a room full of Pharisees and doctors of the law that had gathered and seen four men bring a paralyzed man to the roof, dig the roof apart with their hands and lower him down. They had seen strange things today. But, we talked about it in Sunday school, the strange things they saw were not the healing, because they'd seen Jesus heal. What they hadn't seen was Jesus forgive a man's sins and the faith of these four men. Off topic, that's just something that I was excited about. Okay, where were we? Okay, the rich young ruler. This man was probably a much better person than most of us. Strictly and religiously following the laws, honoring his parents, doing everything that he should do, except for this one thing. He had this one thing that was keeping him off the old path. He was wandering on a path that was Pharisaical. The path was all about his actions. It wasn't about his heart. And the path that we have as New Testament church Christians is in our hearts. It's not just our actions. We talked about Jesus raising the bar, and it's no longer about the Ten Commandments. It's not just about whether we kill somebody or not. Now it's about whether we have bad attitudes to that person. Jesus raises the bar for us to get onto that path. Now, he didn't like this answer. He went away sorrowing. Now, I don't know what happened to him. I expect, because we never hear from him again, that he didn't change his ways, that he didn't sell everything that he had, and that he regretted it for a long time after that. But when we are asking, when we're talking to people, when we're getting answers to the questions that we're asking, there's a 50-50 chance we're not going to like the answer, and then we have two choices. We have two choices after that. We can ignore the stuff we've heard and remain the same, which is what this young man did. He ignored what that was, remained the same, remained a little bit lower, actually, because he was so sad because he had to give up this stuff. Or we can accept what this person has told us. Now, most of the time, we don't ask advice of people that we hate. Normally, we ask advice of people that we respect or that we like or that we think know about the subject. And so when we ask that advice, we've got to be prepared to take it to some degree, at least to take it on board. We can accept it and change. You can't usually accept advice from somebody and stay exactly the same. We talk about growth being painful. That's why some kids have growing pains. It's just they're changing. They're growing up. It gets a little bit painful. And it's the same for us as Christians. We have growing pains. If we're doing it right, if we're walking in the old paths, if we're seeking the old paths, as we ask, as we find answers, as we make changes, it hurts. Because you need to get rid of things. Things need to be cut away. Things need to be gotten rid of. Things need to be taken on board that we didn't want to take on board. And that's what actually helps us to grow quicker. The pain helps you mature quicker. If you go through your life, and we talked a little bit about this morning about the pain that Christians can face, it helps us mature. We talk about Christians in countries that are communist or socialist or whatever other system that is there. And those Christians don't necessarily want the persecution to stop because they know it's making them stronger. And I heard one story about a missionary saying to I think it was a Chinese church member, "I'm praying for the persecution to stop." And the man said, "Oh, don't do that. I'm praying for it to start for you guys because it makes you so much of a stronger Christian when you're facing those things." When you're exercising, when you go to the gym, which I don't think many of us here do, me included, when you're exercising, when you're playing a sport, things start to hurt. Your legs start to hurt. Your lungs start to hurt because you're using things you don't normally use, but you're always better for it. It might not feel like that for a couple of days normally is how it works. But in the long run, you're much better off. As a Christian, it's the same. We need to be exercising these things. We need to be asking the hard questions. Like the conversation that Cam didn't want to play with this afternoon about Revelation. He stayed out of it, which is fair enough. But it'll be better for Clem and for Josh Rizzo probably, even though it probably was a little bit uncomfortable or their hair's still all there, so it should be fine. But it's better for us to ask these questions, to have the weird conversations. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to study the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. We talked a bit this morning in Sunday school about head coverings for women. And we won't go into it right now, but it was a bit of a weird conversation and we're still deciding what we want to do about it. So, asking. Back to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein." Once again, this is an active step. It's not, you can do all these other things, then you can relax. You need to walk. It's not a little easy thing either. Walking means a commitment. Walking is a commitment to that path. Once you start walking, you're heading down that journey. If you're still in Matthew, turn over to chapter 7. If you're not, turn to Matthew and then go to chapter 7. Matthew 7 and verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." That's a path. That's a path that the world has that is broad and wide, and there's many people that go down it, but leads to destruction. Verse 14, "Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." This is the complete opposite to that path. It's not easy to find, It's not well populated. It's not easy to walk on. Straight and narrow, and there's few people on it. That's the path. That's the old path that they're talking about there. That's what we need to be on. And we need to remember, like Pastor was talking about this morning, it's not an easy walk. Being a Christian, there's not very many roses and there's plenty of thorns. That's what we need to be walking therein, like it said in Jeremiah. When, as Christians, we're walking this path, I'm encouraged that this verse in verse 14 says that there's a few that find it. It's not just me. We don't have to walk this path alone. Yes, it's straight and it's narrow, but being in a church, being with other believers, makes that path a little bit more bearable. When we go hiking, it's much better to do it with a group of people. Less chance of, yes, Callum would like to be carried the next time we hike, just so you're all aware. But just while I'm thinking about it, being carried on the path doesn't help you at all either. It's another passive thing to do. When me and Callum hiked up to Windon Falls a little while ago, the first time we did it, we tried a new path. We took Paddy with us. That was excruciating because after a while, I realized I didn't pack any spare nappies and he couldn't walk. And so we were taking it in turns of about 15 minutes each, carrying him on our shoulders, and it was squishy and it was uncomfortable. And he was heavy and we were sweaty and he did not want to sit up there for the 3 hours of walking or whatever it was that we were doing. Exactly. It was a hard thing for us to do and it was no good to him. He didn't get more exercise from it. We did. It was a bit harder for us. But when we're going on these journeys like we do sometimes, being there to help each other up, being there to push each other on is really what the Christian life is about. We don't have to do it alone. We don't have to be the only one on the old paths. And that's the beauty of being in a local church. We're all hopefully on that old path together. Let's go back to Jeremiah again. Let's read the whole verse through. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And here's the good bit. Here's the bit. After all the active stuff we've been going through, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You'll find rest. Now, that's an encouraging thing when we think about our Christian life and how wearying it can be. There's rest. Jesus has rest for us. There's a song that I heard the other day that it's called the Pilgrim's Hymn or something like that, and it talks about, the verse says something like, here we are but straying pilgrims, and talking about we're only here as a pilgrim, we're just journeying through, and it talks about here our feet are often weary, and here these things are, and it was a day that I had a lot going on Sunday. I had to go to Ravensoe, and then the song leading, and then Sunday school, and all kinds of stuff that was going on, and this song was such an encouragement to me to remember that, yeah, it's a hard journey right now, but like it says here at the end of verse 16, you shall find rest for your souls. The end of this path is so much better than the end of the other path. And it turns out that I'm never so rested as when I'm walking with God. Physically, it might be tough, but you have a sense that you don't have when you're away from God. There's a peace that he's talking about here, finding rest for your souls. Now, on this earth, we're not going to find rest for our bodies and our minds most of the time either, but our souls can be at rest because of the things that Jesus has promised us. We look at the world today, we look at the things that are happening in it, and people are so terrified. At my work at the moment, we have to clean everything that anybody might touch. I think 3 times a day, I think is what we're supposed to do. And you're supposed to do the elbow bump and all kinds of silly things because there's such a fear in the world. The world is so fearful of what could happen if we die. And that's really what it is. It's not a fear of the virus spreading. It's the fear of I might die. It's the fear of what will happen to me. And as Christians, we don't have to have that fear. It's almost an encouraging thing. If I die, it's actually going to be better off. It's actually going to be a better ending for me. So looking at verse 16, this is the old path. And even if people change the road signs, even if people change the path and go, this is no longer a thing you're allowed to say, if the Bible says it, that's what we need to be following. That's the path we need to be on. We need to be making sure that we're in our Bibles so we can tell when someone changes a sign. Because people are going to try and switch them on us, the old switcheroo. They're going to drive around and pretend to be Christians. And one of the passages we just looked at. I think it was Matthew 7, just beyond where we looked, it says, beware of false prophets, people who come in and they change the road signs. They come in, they look like us, they talk like us, they wear the right color socks, and all of a sudden the sign has changed. And we go, when did this happen? Well, it's because a false prophet came in. Even if people change the road signs, the road map stays the same. And if we're only focused on the signs that people give us, and we're not focused on the road map, we're going to get lost. We're going to struggle off the path. We need to make sure that we're in our roadmaps ourselves. We're in our Bibles ourselves to make sure. And so when Pastor speaks or I speak or Clem or anybody else gets up, you guys are in your Bibles and you can come to me afterwards and tell me if I said something wrong, and hopefully do it with your hands open in a calming manner. It would be nice, just for a change. So, that's the old path. The old path, what we want to be on, what God exhorts us to be on. Now let's look a little bit further. What happens if you leave the old path? Let's read verse 16 again. You guys will be having memorized this by the end. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. They've gone off the path. They've left the reservation. They're now looking for other ways to go around their business. Verse 19 is a little bit of a terrifying verse. Hear, O earth. He's making an example right now. God is making an example of the people who have left the old path. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. That's a little bit of a terrifying thing, really, because God is making an example of these people. And these are the people that all of the nations around know are God's chosen people. God has protected them. He's brought them out of Egypt. He's done amazing things for the last few hundred years. And now he's saying, because you've left the old paths, I will bring evil upon this people. Not disaster, not a tragedy, but evil. That's a strong word to use from God. I'm going to bring evil upon these people. We don't want to get to the point in our journey through this life that God will bring evil upon us as an example to other people, as an example for other people who are thinking about straying from the path. The path that we have as Christians is quite clearly laid out for the most part. There's only two paths. The Bible never talks about a third path. There's only those two. There's an old path, there's a new path. There's the straight and narrow, there's the broad and wide. And you're only on one of those two paths. There's no middle, there's no other path that winds around both of the others or disappears down a tunnel. There's only these two. We are on one of these two paths. And we need to be making sure as Christians or as people in our Bibles what path we want to be on, what path we're actively looking to stay on. Even if you're on that path, we need to be doing those things in Jeremiah chapter 6 to stay on the path, standing and seeing and asking and walking will keep us on that path. And that's where we need to be. And we need to remember that every step that we take without these things, without standing and seeing and asking and walking, is a step away from what Jesus recommends. The people of Israel didn't decide one day, we're no longer going to worship God, we're going to go after Baal just immediately. It was a slow process, it was a stepping away, which is what happens when we talk about sheep wandering off, like they do in the parables that Jesus speaks about. They're there 1 minute, but they're not gone the next. They're there 1 minute, and then they're here the next minute. And they're a little bit further, because the next bit of grass always looks a little bit more tasty. Once again, the newer thing is better. The newer thing is what they're chasing. We don't want to be like that. And I understand that there are some new things that aren't terrible, but for the most part, God tells us to remember to be looking to the old paths, to the old ways, to the Bible, not to the new ways, not to the new ideologies that come in, the new ways to improve yourself and gain six figures before the end of the year, or to lose 60 pounds in the next 3 hours. Whatever it is, there's all these new and things that are going to be coming across our paths, but God keeps bringing us back, keeps bringing his children back, his disciples in the New Testament, back to the old ways. Let's read verse 16 again, and then we'll close in prayer. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Let's leave it there. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you again for this day that you've given us, that we can be here this evening. Be helping us, Lord. Be helping me that I'll be able to stay on this path. Help us, Father, to be in the Bible, to be asking the right questions, to be standing, to be walking. Lord, we pray these things. Pray you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.